that spy stuff. Wouldn't that be great? You ever wonder what it would be like? Get your orders from a Kodak camera. Do the retinal scan. Save the world. Rescue hostages. You know what? What if the Christian life is not so far from that? We have been called to go into enemy territory and rescue hostages. We dwell in enemy territory where people have been taken captive by the enemy. And we are constantly given a mission by God to live for His glory in this world. Not merely rescuing hostages, but in all that we do, in all that we say, in all our behaviors, in all of our callings. And God gives us many different kinds of mission. Daniel was given a mission. It seemed impossible. We're going to see what it is in a few moments. But Daniel, like Ethan Hunt, chose to accept his mission with faith and courage and hope. You see, Daniel was in enemy territory. For those of you who are new to the book, Daniel and his three friends were exiled in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had overtaken Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. And they were brought into the service of the king. And through Daniel, we learn how to live lives pleasing to God, fruitful lives in enemy territory. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. And by the way, when I say turn in your Bibles, let me encourage this church, really turn in your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to church. We are people created in the image of God. We are people that have senses. We have sight. We have hearing. We have touch. We have smell. And I'm telling you, this is going to sound crazy to some of you. There is something about holding your Bible, feeling it, seeing it, smelling it as you open its pages, hearing the pages turn as you find a passage. There's something about holding our Bibles that is spiritually healthy. And for those of you who are parents, there are few things more healthy than for your children to see you holding your Bible, opening it up, turning to the passage, and reading the Word of God. So that's extra this morning. That's not the message. But let me encourage this church to be a church that brings our Bibles and uses them. Today in this passage, we are going to learn how to live lives honoring to God and wooing to the unchurched when seemingly impossible circumstances press in around us. So often Christians respond with fear and panic when tough times come. But we're going to trust God for the grace to enable us to see who He is and who we are in Christ and the resources available to us in the gospel, so that like Daniel, we can choose to accept seemingly impossible missions and see God transform them from mission impossible to mission possible. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's Word. Follow along as I read Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. You may need to prop yourselves up during this reading because it will take us several minutes. This is the Word of God. May it bear fruit in our lives. Daniel 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. May we honor it. May we trust it. May by your grace we keep it and obey it. Father, we ask that as we face seemingly impossible circumstances in life, that we would embrace the mission with faith and courage and hope. Come, Holy Spirit, you are the author of those elements. Teach us. Encourage us. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Folks, you may never know when, you may never know where, you may never know how, but God's mission to you will come. It probably won't be through a Kodak camera that self-destructs after it gives you the mission. But make no mistake, the mission will come. He is going to call all of us to choose to accept what we perceive as seemingly impossible missions. For some of us, the mission impossible will be facing with grace and faith and hope a season of financial crisis. For others of us, mission impossible may revolve around enduring and growing through an incredibly difficult marriage. For others of us, we may be facing a secret sin, and the mountain just seems too high, and the mission to obey seems too difficult. There are some of us here who have received or who will soon receive the invitation to embrace the mission of facing cancer, death in our own lives or the lives of those whom we love and care for. Some of us here this morning may be given the mission of facing this seemingly impossible task of confronting past abuse. Missions that seem to go beyond our ability to endure. Some of us may receive the mission to go to the mission field, and we don't know how we can move out of the season and stage we're in to get to where God wants us to go. Sometimes it's just a simple life transition that appears to be a mission beyond our ability to cope. Daniel, living as an exile and an alien in a foreign land, was given a mission of seemingly impossible proportions. I mean, think about it. The king had a dream. Now, oftentimes in that day, people had dreams and you'd share them with friends or counselors. And, good grief, we do the same thing. You just make up what it meant. Just look at the symbolism and just shoot from the hip. Well, the king was so disturbed by this dream, he was not going to let that happen. And the only way he knew to not let the wise men and the counselors make up stuff was to say, I'll tell you what, I'll know you really know what you're talking about by forcing you to tell me not only the interpretation, but the dream itself. I'm not going to say anything about it. Now picture that. How do you tell somebody a dream they've had when you don't know any of the details? And yet that is the impossible request the king made. And he was so set on that, that if they didn't reveal the dream and its interpretation, did you read this? This is not a G-rated book. They were going to be torn limb from limb. That's not hyperbole. King's not joking there. And their houses, their families were going to be destroyed. The stakes were high and the mission seemingly impossible. And the Chaldeans, the wise men, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the enchanters, they panic. They freak out. They stall for time. And at the very moment when the captain of the king's guard was going to kill Daniel and his friends, Daniel steps up to the plate. He realizes it's a mission given to him by God. There was no Kodak camera. There was no retinal scan. But Daniel knew it was his mission should he choose to accept it. He did. God was honored. Lives were saved. And a culture was impacted. We're going to look at seven elements from this passage, from this text. We're not going to cover all seven this morning, so rest easy. Seven elements that flow from this text on how we, each one of us, where we are, can choose to accept seemingly impossible missions and see God transform them from mission impossible to mission possible. You'll find an outline in your programs this morning. Follow along with me. First of all, choose to accept your mission with honest realism. Daniel understood what was at stake here, and so did the other counselors. Look at verse 10. There's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. This was an admittedly difficult mission. I don't know what you're facing this morning. It might be cancer. It might be your marriage is on the brink of divorce. You might be struggling as a parent, wrestling with career decisions. And you don't need some preacher up in front of you proclaiming health, wealth, and prosperity to you today. You don't need somebody saying, hey, just, you know, become a Christian, believe the gospel, and you won't have any problems, and it'll be smooth sailing. I wouldn't love you very much if that's what I told you. I'm here to tell you, just like a good doctor who's going to give you a shot of Novocaine, this may pinch a little. Life is hard. There are difficulties, trials. I mean, that's what Paul says in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul teaching disciples. He says, through many tribulations, trials, difficulties, persecutions, we must enter the kingdom of God. I don't want anyone to live in denial over the intensity of the missions that God, at some point in time, gives us. Look at verse 11. It's a difficult thing that you ask. The truth is, it was impossible. Nobody, apart from supernatural input, could accomplish what the king was asking. And guess what? That's why God gives you and me seemingly impossible missions as well. He wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. It's the only hope for a successful mission. See, unless you honestly assess the difficult, impossible elements of the situation you're facing, you and I will live in self-reliance. We will rely upon our own resources rather than turning to the supernatural resources of Christ. And one of the reasons why God gives us seemingly impossible missions is to bring us to the end of ourselves, the end of our self-reliance, the end of our self-sufficiency, so that we would be desperate for Christ. And we would not seek to accomplish any mission by the strength of our own resources. Look at verse 13. The wise men, including Daniel and his friends, were about to be killed. Daniel understood the score. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. There were two outs. They were behind. There were two strikes. And all seemed lost. And again, folks, people are lying to you if they tell you that the Christian life doesn't at times put us in those seemingly hopeless circumstances. And so often Christians become disillusioned because they've been fed a lie that God's mission is a walk in the park. It's just like floating downstream like a stick. And it's not true. And we need to remember that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Don't let anybody minimize the details of difficulty that you may be facing. But remember, those details of difficulty are present to bring you and I to the end of ourselves so that we would live in desperate dependence upon Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, Peter says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that has come upon you as though something strange were happening to you. You ever get that feeling? Where circumstances are so incredibly difficult and on top of each other that you just say, this is weird. Something strange. Peter says, that will happen in the Christian life. Don't be surprised, he says. You see, when we're not ready for the degree of difficulty of the mission God gives us, in our disillusionment when it finally comes, we'll often turn tail and run. or we'll seek diversions so that we can continue to live in denial. And those diversions are often ungodly. Now, if we're going to face our mission successfully, we need to take an honest assessment of the difficulty of that which we're facing. We can't live in denial. Many of us have heard of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, actually started by a Christian. It was initially focused on only Christian principles. You know, one of the first steps is of AA, that, remember, AA helps people recover from their addictions. Men and women, we are all addicts. The only thing that differs among us is our drug of choice. For some it's alcohol, for some it's drugs, for some it's sex, for some it's work, for some it's success, for some it's money, for some it's approval. We all are recovering addicts. And you know the first step to recovery? Admit you've got a problem. Actually, the precise words are, admit that your life has become unmanageable. And what we need to realize, men and women, is that God, because He loves us, actually delights in giving us a mission that is seemingly impossible. Because we all think our lives are relatively manageable. And it's when we realize the mission puts us in a place where we're beyond the reach of our own resources that we really begin to enter a safe place. You realize I face this mission impossible every week. Every week I know Sunday's coming. Every week I know that God's people are faithfully going to show up. Every week I'm insecure over what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. And I've had beat into my heads by sociologists that 90% of what I say is going to be forgotten in 24 hours. And I think, God, I can't do this. And God says, okay, now you're ready. See, if I got up here every Sunday morning and thought I could pull this off, you might be impressed from time to time with my oratory skills. Your ears might be tickled. But there would be absolutely no life change in your soul. See, Paul was right. It is when we are weak that we become strong in Christ. And when you see your mission that God gives you as calling you to reach beyond your own abilities and your own resources, you're about to enter holy ground. You're about to see God move. It's not easy. It's difficult. But that honest assessment of the mission is what keeps us walking with Christ. It may be for you it's parenting, or for you it's marriage, or for you it's facing an habitual sin, a secret sin. It could be a host of other missions. Don't be in denial. Be honest about the difficulty. And get yourself to a place where you understand you have no other recourse but to look to Christ. And then secondly, not only choose to accept your mission with honest realism, choose to accept your mission with patient understanding. Look at verse 14. Daniel replied how? With prudence and discretion. That's what the ESV says. Now, don't forget the context. Notice the context in which Daniel replies with prudence and discretion. Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, had gone out to kill Daniel and his three friends. Do you know how I would respond if somebody was out to kill me? It wouldn't be with prudence and discretion. It would be with panic and wholesale terror. Actually, it would be just the same way the enchantress responded. Look at verse 10. There's not a man on earth who can do what you've asked. It's almost as though they're saying, are you kidding me, King? No, they couldn't say that because then they would be killed. See, the world faces the impossible with panic, with fear, with anxiety. And oftentimes many Christians respond the same way to seemingly impossible missions that God's grace can make possible. But not Daniel. Look at verse 14. He responded and replied with prudence. That word in the Hebrew means counsel. It means that Daniel talked to himself instead of listened to himself. Folks, if you're hearing me right now, this could change your life. There is a huge difference between listening to yourself and talking to yourself. Every moment of our existence, we have a stream of consciousness pouring through our brains. It's like an old CD that has been just rutted into our brain. Every single one of us has old tapes playing all the time. And every single situation where there seemingly is an impossible mission, those tapes are pushed on. And if we don't, as believers, begin to recognize that we're listening ourselves and we need to talk to ourselves, then we're going to struggle when it comes to tackling the mission God has for us. See, David learned this secret as well. David in Psalm 42 actually preaches the gospel to himself. By the way, this is one of our elements of our mission statement. Preach the gospel to yourself, to one another, to the lost world. David and Daniel learned how to preach to themselves. They learned how to stop listening to themselves and start talking to themselves, preaching to themselves. Psalm 42, David says to his soul, "Soul, why are you in despair?" And he preaches to himself some more. Put your hope in God. He is your hope. He is your salvation. And you see this little tiny ember of faith flamed into a huge raging fire because David learns to preach the gospel to his own soul. And Daniel did as well. That's what it means to reply with prudence. It means that you get a hold of yourself by grace. We use that phrase, don't we? Come on, get a hold of yourself. That's the word prudence in Daniel 2. Where you talk to yourself so you get a hold of yourself so you don't fly off into panic and anxiety. It means to compose yourself. To respond with poise in the face of panic. The second word is just as important. Daniel replied with prudence, preached to himself, and discretion. Now, this word discretion is actually a culinary word. It means having good taste. It means that you have a discriminating palate. Now, what does that have to do with responding to seemingly impossible situations? Well, think about what a wine connoisseur is. A wine connoisseur can take a sip from a glass of red wine, or white wine, but let's use red for an example. And he can tell you where that wine's from. France, Italy, Spain, Australia, California. And then a real wine connoisseur has such a discriminating palate, such an ability to discern among tastes, that if it's French wine, he can even tell you the region. Bordeaux, Burgundy, Rhone. And God calls us to exercise faith in Christ in the midst of seemingly impossible circumstances, so that he will grow within us a discriminating palate, so that we become gospel connoisseurs, so that we would be able to take sips of the circumstances of life, and we would be able to discern God's vintage. that rather than panicking, we could stop and sip the circumstance and say, okay, this is God's vintage. This is a good year. God's at work here. God's hand is all over this. And I may feel things are out of control, and this may hurt like the dickens. But God's not left me. He is wise. He is good. He is sovereign. And this is a mission He's calling me to embrace. See, that's exactly what Daniel did. Everybody else was panicked. But Daniel preached to himself. And he sipped the circumstance of God's vintage. And he discerned and discriminated the hand of God. And that's what enabled him to respond to the mission. What are you facing this morning? Well, you're tempted to panic. You may be in a wholesale panic this morning. And God is calling you to preach to yourself, to compose yourself in the gospel. And God is calling you to sip the vintage of His providence and discover that it's a very good year. Choose to accept your mission with honest realism, with patient understanding. And the last thing we're going to cover today, we'll finish this up next week. Choose to accept your mission with courageous initiative. Courageous initiative. Look at verse 16. Daniel went in. Three powerful words. He didn't sit. He didn't sulk. He didn't mope. He didn't whine. Daniel went in. He was proactive. He took initiative. He tackled his problems head on. He didn't run the other way. He didn't wait for somebody else to act. He engaged the mission as it was offered to him. Listen, the Christian life is not risk averse. The Christian life is filled with risk and the call to embrace risk. I have a friend. He'll know who he is. He is the most non-risk averse person I've ever met. I mean, he's always fairly engaged, but let's say he's just sort of quasi-engaged. If the risk factor goes up, it's like a new guy shows up. It doesn't matter whether it's golf. It doesn't matter whether it's business. It doesn't matter whether it's food. We'll be on the golf course. Hitting right down the middle. I'm thinking, he's got a 50-50 chance of this next shot going straight. It could go right. It could go left. But I tell you what, if he's behind a tree, under a rock, in front of a snake, over some water, through a basket, I know that ball is going to end up on the green. Something about risk just makes this guy come alive. I'm not like that. I'm cautious. I'm timid. I want to know all the details of everything I'm about to engage in. And I want to know all the outcomes. The Christian life is not a call to be risk averse. And missions will come our way. And it will be like hitting a ball under a rock, over water, in front of a snake. And God calls us to respond with courageous initiative. You see, the world doesn't do that. Look at verses 4 and 7. Notice how the magicians, the enchanters, they're stalling for time. They're just hoping things are going to change. They're hoping maybe the king will change his mind. Or maybe the king will die of a heart attack. Who knows? They're stalling. Let me ask you, what possible mission is God giving you this morning? And you're stalling. You're hoping he'll change his mind or circumstances will change. And God's calling you to respond with courageous initiative. He's calling you to be proactive. People, avoiding self-reliance does not mean that we don't take action. Living in grace doesn't mean we just sit around and wait for something to happen. That's not the gospel. God so loved the world that he sent Christ. Christ so loved the church that He became man. God is proactive, and one of the elements of being created in the image of God is that God has given us the gift of the ability to be proactive and to take risks of faith. Notice verse 12 that procrastination, that stalling, just makes matters worse. The king perceived that the magicians were simply trying to buy time, and he became furious. And it's the same way with our mission. If we stall, if we procrastinate, if we wring our hands, if we mope, if we whine, things are just going to get worse. Folks, if there's a shark in the water, you don't sit there and just become dinner. You do something about it. You seen the show on Discovery Channel, Mythbusters? Cool show. They do all these investigations about wives' tales or sayings or widely held beliefs. And they bring in scientists and people who are experts, and they perform experiments. And one of the weeks during the Discovery Channel was Shark Week. And they had this widely held belief. If a shark attacks you, punch it in the nose. You've heard that, right? And it was on trial. Is it myth or is it fact? And they did all these tests and they talked to experts, and guess what? It's not a myth. It's true. It's fact. It turns out that the nose of the shark is the most sensitive area of the shark's body. There was a surfer from Portland who was watching this very show. Little did he know it would save his life. Some time ago, he was out surfing after seeing the show, and the unthinkable happened. A shark grabbed hold of his leg. Remembering what he heard, that it wasn't a myth, he reached down and he punched that shark repeatedly in its nose. It let him go, and he lived. There may be circumstances in your lives today, and it feels like a shark has your leg. It's the mission that God's given you. He's done the retinal scan. He knows it's you. He knows your frame. He knows what you can handle. It's been designed with you in mind. And if it feels like a shark biting your leg, then respond with courageous initiative. Embrace it. Face it. Punch that shark right in the nose. And God will be honored and glorified in your life. And you'll experience God like you've never experienced Him before. And you'll have an impact in this culture that you never thought you could have. You know, one of the things about the movie that's a lot more true than we would maybe give it credit for, and this is going to sound strange coming from a Presbyterian pastor, but I promise you this is good doctrine. What's the most famous saying, do you think, in Mission Impossible? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and I'm here to tell you, as a Presbyterian pastor who believes in the sovereignty of God, you and I have that choice. The missions will come. And God will be saying, your mission, should you choose to accept it. And then we can or we cannot. I don't understand that in the mystery of providence and sovereignty, but it's true. We have a choice. And so whatever that mission is that's before you this morning, will you, by the grace of God, choose to accept it? Like Daniel, will you move forward in the gospel? And I promise you that if you do, you will see God move in a way you've never seen Him move before. And I also will say, on the other hand, if you and I choose to refuse to accept the mission, there will be fallout and there will be consequences. And this is why we need the body of Christ. We need to spur each other on to choose to accept the seemingly impossible mission that God has designed for each one of us. More next week Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do pray for all of your beloved children, especially those who could say, amen, I am in the midst of sharks. They've got my legs, and I can't believe this would be a mission that God would be giving me. Father, no one here is trying to minimize the struggle, the hardship people face. God, equip your people. God, we pray we would preach the gospel to ourselves, that we would encourage our souls, that we would have that discriminating palate to discern the vintage of your providence. And God, that by your mercy, by your Spirit, we would respond proactively, courageously. We would take initiative to go after these missions you set out for us. God, to your glory, to the growth of your kingdom, and to the winning of the lost, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and hear the benediction, the promise of God's presence with us throughout any mission he may give us. Receive it now in faith. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, both now and always. Amen.